right, so let's get you in the movie mood. You guys know, before we ever get to the clips or the sermon this morning, we start our At the Movie Sundays with a little bit of little-known movie trivia. And so I have scoured the internet to find these for you guys. It gets harder every year. I don't know if you guys know this. It gets really hard to find stuff for you guys. So you are welcome for all of my hard work, all right? That's what you just... I'll just go ahead and tell you. All right, so first one, throw that up there. We'll start you with a softball. Anybody know the movie? Up, yeah. Be proud of you. We all know that. All right, what you might not know about the movie Up is the animators actually animated 10,297 balloons, individual balloons, for this movie, animated on that house. So if you want to go home and try it today, you need 10,297 balloons. And invite me to come watch if that's what's going to happen. All right, second one, throw that one up there. Anybody knows? Star Trek. Yes, Star Trek. Those of you who said Star Wars, you can meet those who said Star Trek out behind the dumpsters after service for a rumble. Yes, Star Trek. All right, fun fact about Star Trek. The sound of the USS Enterprise doors opening and closing is actually the sound of a train toilet flushing. Come on, somebody. That is your sound effect. Go win $1 million somewhere. I don't know. That's just yours. All right, number three. Does anybody know this movie? Sleepless in Seattle. All right. The romantic comedy with Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks. Not to be confused with this movie. Second one. You've Got Mail. The romantic comedy with Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks. Same director, by the way. Just a great, good fact for you. They just decided if I hit a home run, I'll hit another one. Does anybody know which of these is the first movie Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks acted in together? That's right. Neither one. It's actually this movie. Joe versus the Volcano. Come on, somebody. A romantic comedy between Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks. So if you want your week, you want your viewing, go and watch this one. There you go. If anybody wants their weekly viewing. All right, next one up. Throw that one up there. Ben-Hur, yeah, the chariot scene. All right, the most famous one. The actual title, or sorry, the main character acting role was first offered to Robert Redford, everybody, who turned it down, declined, saying, and I quote, "I don't have the legs for a miniskirt." Throw that. Sometimes you just got to make a decision. That's just what. There you go. All right, last one. Last one this morning. And as we put it up there, it's going to have a lot of different movies. Be thinking about it. Don't shout it out yet. Let me just say something. We say it every At the Movies. And that is, as we get into our movie today, every movie we do throughout these weeks coming up have been edited down. We've taken clips, different parts of them. And so I just want to give that out to you guys. We always tell you there is a service. It's called VidAngel, where if you like one of the movies, I would encourage you to watch it through that service. It lets you filter out words and scenes, different things. Whatever you choose, you get to filter out. We love it. We use it as a family. It's an incredible, incredible thing. And so if you haven't heard about it, connects to Netflix, Prime, all your different streaming services. But I would just encourage you. We edit the movies here. This is a chance you have to edit them at home as well. Just want to encourage you. It's called VidAngel. And so as I've given you that talk, you've thought, what connects all of these movies? Anybody? Spielberg, there we go. All right, Steven Spielberg directed all of them. Fun fact about Spielberg, in 2002, after a 22 or 32 year hiatus, Spielberg returned to film school to finish his degree. And the film professor that he had made all the students turn in a student film project, to which Spielberg delivered to his professor Schindler's List. Come on, somebody. That was his film. How would you like to be in a film class? And, like, you sit down at Spielberg's next to you turning in Schindler's List, and you've got, like, I don't know, like a video of you and your friends play. It's like sitting at the YMCA to play basketball, and LeBron is, like, suiting up next to you. That's what that's like. So old Steven wrecks the curve. But in the same year he went to film school, at the end of the year, Spielberg released yet another blockbuster, Catch Me If You Can.
Thank you very much,
and welcome to Tell the Truth.
Thank you very much,
and welcome to Tell the Truth. Our first guest, he's made a career out of being the most outrageous imposter that we've ever come across on this show. And you're going to see what I mean.
Number one, what is your name, please?
My name is Frank William Abagnale.
Number two.
My name is Frank William Abagnale.
Number three.
My name is Frank William Abagnale.
From 1964 to 1967, I successfully impersonated an airline pilot for Pan Am Airways, and I flew over 2 million miles for free. During that time, I was also the chief resident pediatrician at a Georgia hospital and an assistant attorney general for the state of Louisiana. By the time I was caught, I was considered the youngest and most daring con man in U.S. history. I had cashed almost $4 million in fraudulent checks in 26 foreign countries and all 50 states. And I did it all before my 19th birthday. My name is Frank William Abagnale.
Spielberg, Tom Hanks, DiCaprio, and a con man who steals over $4 million and does most of it right here in Louisiana. What is not to love? Come on, somebody. In fact, I heard a story that Spielberg went through all of the political names in Louisiana history, and he couldn't pick which con man to make a movie of. He just couldn't. There were so many choices that he just couldn't even figure. That's free for you today, all right? Just a little free. But this is Frank Abagnale Jr. If you're unfamiliar with that game show, three characters, the middle one is actually telling the truth. That's who it is, the character that DiCaprio plays. But it's a true story about this guy from 16 years old to 19 years old who impersonates a pilot, a doctor, an attorney, who's a con man, known as the youngest and most daring con man in U.S. history. And so as I heard that line watching the movie and I was thinking about this morning, it got me thinking, what are you known for? Like, what are you actually? Because listen, people love to put labels on things, right? People love to put labels on people. And so oftentimes, most of us, if you've gone through any amount of time in life at all, most of us have been labeled something. Maybe in your adult years or as a teenager, maybe you were called the liar or the addict, or maybe you were labeled as the hothead or the party girl, or maybe somebody just called you average and you lived your entire life being limited by that label. What has somebody labeled you in your life? You know, I'm watching Frank, and you're about to see a whole lot of these con man stories come to life on this screen. But I was just thinking how the Bible has a lot of characters in it who are just like him, who stretch the truth, if we can put it diplomatically, who fake things so they can get ahead. There's one actually, though, and I think it sticks out the most if you read your Bible cover to cover. The one that sticks out the most, the one who like stands head and shoulders above the rest as a con man. And he's actually known for being a con man, and he's actually known for not being able to seem to shake that label of being a con man. And the label he's given, he gets it at birth. He's born a twin. And so right before he's born, there's a prophecy that comes over him that the younger he will actually take the place of the older brother. And so it's this strange prophecy before he's even born. And so the Bible talks about when he's finally born. And so when they finally come out, the first brother, the oldest one, comes out. Watch this. It says he comes out and he's hairy and red like a garment. How'd you like for your like birth description to be put in the Bible for everyone for all time to read? It says he's red and he's hairy like a garment. This kid's got like, you know, like back hair going. He's got all kinds of. So they named him Esau, which translated into the English literally means hairy. Which is just lazy parenting, if you ask me. Like, back then, they were incredibly lazy in naming their kids. Like, today, you know 10 years out what you're going to name your kids. Like, you just got it. You got it, like, fourth grade in school. You know exactly what you're going to name your children. Back then, they'd wait for the circumstances of the birth. So he comes out. He's got, like, a beard and back hair. And they're, like, hairy, which is just lazy, all right? So that's just vague. So first one. So then our guy, after giving birth to Harry, our guy comes out. And he comes out with his hand grasping Harry's heel. And so they named him Jacob, which means heel grasper. So he comes out grabbing, again, lazy parents, these guys. He comes out grabbing, so they're like, your name is Jacob, which means heel grasper. Now listen to me. In case your name is Jacob today, this is not like some all-out assault on your name. All right, because another derivation of the name means God protects. So if your parents named you Jacob, it's probably for that translation. But not Isaac and Rebekah. They named this guy Jacob because he's the heel grasper. He's the supplanter. He's always going to be trying to take somebody else's place. He's always the one chasing after somebody else, the heel catcher. So here's Jacob labeled at birth that he's always going to be taking someone else's spot. Always going to be trying to measure up. Always going to be the supplanter, the heel grasper. Well, Frank's label doesn't come at birth, but he does start pretty early in his life. In fact, at 15 years old, the family moves to a new city, and he and his dad have to find Frank a suit for his first day at school.
Ma'am, open up. Just open up, please. Ma'am. It's important. Please, ma'am. It's important.
What? Gosh. We don't open for half
open
an
the
hour.
Door. Please, just open the door. It's important.
I'm sorry. We don't open for half an hour.
What's your name, ma'am?
Darcy,
that's a pretty name. I'm in a bit of a fix. I need a suit for my kids, my son Frank. He needs a black suit. There was a death in the family. My father, 85 years old, war hero. Yeah. There's a funeral this afternoon. Military funeral. Planes flying overhead. 21-gun salute. Frank needs to borrow a suit for a couple of hours.
I'm sorry. We don't loan suits, and we're not open.
Darcy, please, come back. Darcy, is this yours? I just found it in the parking lot.
Uh-huh.
Must have slipped right off your neck.
Excuse me.
Oh, yes?
Do you know where room 17 French is?
Yes.
You're selling encyclopedias?
Yeah, it looks like a substitute teacher.
It's not
fun. No, find out.
Take it.
I don't
want to.
Here you go.
Quiet down, people. My name is Mr. Abagnale. That's Abagnale, not Abagnale, not Abagnale, but Abagnale. Now, somebody please tell me where you left off in your textbooks. Excuse me, people, if I need to ask again, I'm going to write up the entire class. Take your seats.
Chapter 7.
Will you please open your textbooks to chapter 8, and we'll get started? Excuse me, what's your name?
Brad.
Brad, why don't you get up here in front of the class here and read conversation number 5.
Les Français sont généralement dans leur pays que presque tout le monde a cette impression.
They sent for me. They said they needed a sub for Roberta. I came all the way from Dixon.
Well, I always sub for Roberta. Excuse me, why aren't you reading?
QL's...
Mr. and Mrs. Abagnale, this is not a question of your son's attendance. I regret to inform you that for the past week, Frank has been teaching Mrs. Glass's French class.
He what?
Your son has been pretending to be a substitute teacher, lecturing the students, giving out homework. Mrs. Glasser has been ill, and there was some confusion with the real sub. Your son held a teacher-parent conference yesterday and was planning a class field trip to a French bread factory in Trenton. Do you see the problem we have?
A French bread factory in Trenton. That's where they're... All of you parents with kids in schools are resonating with one of those parents. I don't know which. You resonate with one of them. But Frank is growing into the life that he's about to lead. This is just like the beginnings of it. And so with our brothers, Jacob and Esau. They start to grow into the labels that have been given to them. Because labels have a way of having a grip on our lives. I don't know if you noticed this. Labels have a way of affecting our identity. The labels that people put. And so that's what happens to both Esau and Jacob. Because we see the boys grow up. And Esau fulfills the manly man, Grizzly Adam name that he's given. Watch this. He becomes a skillful hunter. A man of the open country. So he's the original Grizzly Adams, everybody. He's out there making shopping malls out of toothpicks. He's like doing all right. Like he's got, that's his persona. That's what he becomes. The man's man. So he went out and he's the skilled hunter, man of the country. While Jacob is content to stay at home among the tents. So Jacob's living in mom's basement. But check this out. Isaac had a taste for wild game, and so he loved Esau, but not so much Jacob. So Isaac, the father, he has this preference, and so that's what Esau grows into. It's what he was named for. The label affects his identity, and so he starts to grow into this, but not so much Jacob. But Rebekah loved Jacob, but Isaac loved Esau for something Jacob could never be. And so Jacob feels this sense of rejection, this sense of being pushed away. And so he's having this identity crisis, stuck with this label of you'll always chase the shadow of somebody else. You'll always be the one grasping at the heel. You'll never measure up. And now his father is rejecting him. He's riddled with this insecurity of never measuring up. It's a label that marks his life. And I wonder how many of us have spent large portions of our life chasing after the approval of others, of being labeled and so chasing after. It's what happens when we don't have this confidence and these labels is then it begins to affect our personality. When we don't have a confidence in our identity, the label then begins to affect our personalities. Because when you don't have an identity, we will fabricate a personality for the sake of popularity. When we crave attention or we crave approval from all these people in our lives and we don't get it, we will then fabricate the personality. And that's what's about to happen in Jacob's life. But not just Jacob. Frank is about to change everything about himself. At 16, his parents divorce, and in the aftermath of it, he runs away from home, but he's broke. And so he starts writing checks to people attached to a bank account he knows has no money in it.
Please, you have to listen. Please, you have to listen.
I don't want to hear your story. This is two checks that bounce. You know how much trouble I'm in.
No, but listen, I'm telling you, the bank, they made the mistake. I'll write you another check right now.
By the way, look, I was born yesterday.
Look, it's midnight, Mr. Mudrick. Where am I going to go?
Kid, go home.
Well, you see, it's my grandmother's birthday next week, and I want to get her something extra special. Please, I mean, it's my midterm next week, and my books are stolen. Please, it's just $5. Dode would have to know.
I'm sorry, but we are not allowed to take checks from people we don't know.
I mean, I hope you understand. My boss sent me to Brooklyn, then Queens. Now he wants me in Long Island to take a few clients out for a night on the town.
I'm sorry, but we're not allowed to cash checks from other banks. How would we know if they were any good?
What did you say your name was?
Ashley.
You know what I found on the sidewalk out there? Must have slipped right off your neck.
Is there something I can help you with, son?
He's in it now, right? Still one out of Dad's old playbook. But Frank's about to go a whole lot deeper because we'll fabricate our personality for the sake of popularity. We'll let the labels change who we are. Jacob takes that turn. He's starving for his father's affection. He's longing for someone to validate him, for somebody to validate his life. Well, Isaac, the father, is older now. And what would happen in that culture is before the patriarch would die, he would call the oldest son and he would bless him. So the wealth and the blessing of the family would then pass to that son and transfer over. And Rebekah hears Isaac call Esau. And she hears him tell him, okay, come here, Harry. I'm going to send you out. And you know I love that wild game. So go shoot me something and make me a meal. Come feed it to me and then I'll bless you. And about this time, Isaac is blind at this point in his life. And Rebekah knows it. And so she sees Esau going to the field. And so she calls Jacob. And she says, I know you've been longing for your father's affection. I know you've been looking for this all your life, for the blessing. Now's the opportunity. I'm going to make the food, and you're going to take it in yourself. But you're not just going to take it in as yourself. You're going to dress up like Esau. Watch this. She was listening. And so then when she calls Jacob, she says, and you're going to take the skin of a goat with the hair still attached. You're going to take all that wool. You're going to put it on your arm. Like, listen, how hairy was Esau? Like, that's just... Can we just have a conversation? Like, this dude's got pride. Take the hairiest person you know and multiply it by 1,000. That's how this is. So he's like, you're going to put the goat skin on and you're going to pretend to be Esau. Take the food that I make and you're going to take it in and get the blessing. And Jacob, watch this, is so starved for approval that he does it. He takes it. He's so starved for his father's blessing that he does it. Puts on the goat skins. He takes the food. He's going to do this thing. Well, back to our movie, Frank decides if he can't get people to check, to cash his checks as Frank Abagnale, the student, then he'll just have to steal a uniform and become Frank Abagnale, the pilot.
Dear Dad, I have decided. Dear Dad,
I have decided to book an airline pilot. I have applied to all the big airlines, and I have several promising interviews lined up.
Hello.
I'm Frank Black from Monroe High School, and I have an appointment with Mr. Morgan.
You're the young man who's writing the article for the school paper.
Yes, ma'am, that's me. I want to know everything there is to know about being a pilot.
What does it mean when one pilot says to another pilot, what kind of equipment are you on?
I just want to know what kind of aircraft you're flying. Is it a DC-8, 707, Constellation?
And what about those ID badges that I've seen pilots wear?
Well, every pilot has to have two things with him at all times. One is his airline personnel badge, looks just like this one here from Pan Am. The other one is their FAA license, and that looks just like this.
Oh. Hey, do you think I can make a copy of this to put into my article?
Oh, Frank, you can have that one. It's 3 years expired.
Oh, thanks. And what about your ID badge? Do you have an extra one I could borrow?
Oh, no, I can't help you there. It was a special order from Polaroid. The only way to get one of those is to become a real live pilot for Pan American Airways.
Dear Dad, I've decided to become a pilot for Pan American Airways, the most trusted name in the skies. I should earn my wings real soon. Please get in touch with Joanna Carlton from the 10th grade. Tell her I'm sorry that I could not take her to the junior prom. Love, your son, Frank. Excuse me. I'm sure you hear this all the time, but you have the most beautiful eyes I have ever seen.
Yeah, I do get that all the time. How would you like it?
Hello.
Hi. Are you deadheading?
What?
Are you my deadhead to Miami?
What? Yes, yes. Yeah, I'm your deadhead. Here you go.
You're a little late, but the jump seat is open.
You know, it's been a while since I've done this. Which one's the jump seat again?
Have a nice flight.
Frank, Captain Oliver. John Larkin, the co-pilot. Fred Tully, flight engineer.
Frank Taylor, Pan Am. Thanks for giving me a lift, boys.
Go ahead and take a seat, Frank. We're about to push. What kind of equipment are you on? DC-8?
707.
You turning around on the red eye?
I'm jumping puddles for the next few months trying to earn my keep running leapfrog for the weak and weary.
No shame in that. We all did it.
80 knots.
Check.
V1, rotate. Positive.
Gear up.
Dear Dad, today was graduation.
All right, he's in. I can see it in the eyes of everybody like under 20 years old. When you get home today, you're going to start making fake checks. I could just see. Just wait and see how it ends up for Frank. That's all I'm saying. Just wait and see where this thing is. So Frank puts on the uniform. Jacob puts on the goatskins. He takes the food that Rebecca's given him, and he goes into Isaac's tent. Isaac, who's blind, his father, who's supposed to be giving the blessing to Esau, Jacob shows up with the food. He's wearing the goatskins, and he's like, here it is. And Isaac hears him, and he's like, I smell the food, and it smells right. And I did tell Esau to do this, but you don't sound like Esau. You don't sound like the Grizzly Adams brother. You sound like Jacob is what you sound like. And so he tells him to come closer. And so Jacob gets closer, and Isaac smells the goatskins, and he's like, okay, maybe it is Esau. Maybe that smells pretty bad. Maybe you are Esau. And then the Bible says he intentionally feels his arms and feels that goat, and he's like, yeah, just like a goat. That's my boy. That's my Esau. He feels it. And so he blesses Jacob. He prays a blessing over the wrong son. Well, about that time, Esau arrives. Jacob has gone out, and he comes into his father, Isaac. And watch this verse. Isaac says, your brother already came and deceived me and he's taken away your blessing. And watch what Esau says. Esau says, isn't that why we gave him the label? Isn't that why we call him Jacob? Isn't that why he's the heel grasper? Because he's cheated me twice. I can't stand the fact he stole my righteous firstborn and now he's taken my blessing. And the rage of Esau rises against Jacob. And he wants blood. And suddenly the lies he's told and the consequences for them are about to catch up with Jacob.
I don't want any trouble.
No trouble? No trouble at all. We'll just take this check and be on our way, thank you.
Good. Because I don't want my customers harassed.
What are you saying? Are you still here?
201.
Thank you.
Corner here?
Oh, thanks.
Steps?
Steps.
Hey, Mr. Murphy, how are you?
Is that Frank?
Yeah, it's Frank.
Hey, Frank, how are you?
How's the knee?
Come on, I'll race you right now.
Take care.
Okay, Frank.
It's all right, ma'am. FBI.
IBM Selectric.
Put your hands on your head.
A print type in 5 seconds.
Shut up.
Pop out the ball.
Put your hands on your head. Put your hands.
You know, he's got over 200 checks here.
Hands on your head.
Drafting. He even has little payroll envelopes addressed to himself.
Put it down. Drop it.
Relax. You're late. All right? My name's Allen, Barry Allen, United States Secret Service. Your boy just tried to jump out the window. My partner has him in custody.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What, you think the FBI are the only ones on this guy? I mean, come on. Come on, he's dabbling in government checks here. I've been following a paper trail on this guy for months now. Hey, you mind taking that gun out of my face? Please, really. I mean, it makes me nervous.
You see some credentials.
Yeah, sure. Take my whole wallet. You want my gun, too? Come over here, take my gun. Hey, look, just do me a favor. Take a look outside. Look out the window. My partner's walking into the car as we speak. Look. He jumped right through the window onto the hood of my car. Hey, Murph. Yeah, call the LAPD again. I don't want people walking through my crime scene.
I didn't expect the Secret Service on this.
Don't worry about it. Well, what's your name?
Henry. Carl Henry.
Mind if I see some identification?
Sure.
You never can be too careful these days. Well, tough luck, Carl. 5 minutes earlier, you would have landed yourself a pretty good collar.
It's all right. 10 seconds later, and you'd have been shot. Mind if I come downstairs with you? I got to take a look at this guy.
Sure thing. Just do me a favor and sit tight for a second while I get this evidence downstairs. You know, I don't want some maid walking through here and making the bed. LAPD should be here any sec.
Wait. Your wallet.
You hang on to it for a minute. I trust you.
Oh. Thank you.
It's a close call for Frank. I love the undercurrent of labels in this movie, by the way. You could just watch for that. You know, there comes a moment for all of us where the lies start to catch up with us. And we'll manipulate our personality to somehow game the system. If our post on Facebook or Instagram doesn't get the likes or the things we wanted, when we were honest and people just didn't respond, we'll change the next one to get the follows or the likes or whatever it is. Whatever it takes, because we have to become something we're not, because we're not secure in who God made us. And so we'll game the system. We'll change things about ourselves. I wonder how many of us today in this church are willing, just like Frank or just like Jacob, to put on the facade, to dress up and pretend to be like somebody else. To dress up and pretend like things are different because at the core, we don't know who we are. And so we come to church and we act like everything is fine. Like everything is okay, when in reality, we're only pretending. And honestly, if we're honest with ourselves, we're not nearly as good at it as Frank or Jacob is. And I want you to know it's only hurting you. You're not really getting ahead. Listen to me. God wants to bless you, but God will not bless who we pretend to be. He won't bless the fake you. And if you're living your life in an identity crisis, always manipulating your personality, just trying to get affirmation or approval, if you're always living for that one more like or that one more friend or that one more approval, you are living a lie and you are not getting God's best for your life. God won't bless who we pretend to be. It's a label that the devil has given you to keep you from the potential that God has for your life.
So where are we on the list?
Number 53, Abagnale.
You filled out a missing persons report for a runaway juvenile by the name of Frank Abagnale Jr.
Is Funky okay?
You're aware of the fact that he wrote some checks on a closed account at Chase Manhattan Bank?
Oh, yes. The police think he's some type of criminal.
What he did was a felony, Mrs. Barnes.
Oh, it was $1,000.
We understand, ma'am. Would you happen to have a picture of your son?
Oh, yes. I have his old yearbook.
Okay. We need to send out an all-office teletype. Our runs-up's name is Frank Abagnale Jr., age 17.
Is Frankie okay? Is he in trouble?
Ma'am, I'm sorry to have to tell you, your son is forging checks.
Forging checks? Wait, I'm sure we can take care of that. I'm working part-time at the church now. Just tell me how much he owes and I'll pay you back.
So far, it's about $1.3 million.
I'll write you a check. You can see the net starting to close in, but it's not closed in yet. Same way with Jacob. Esau wants to kill him, and so Rebekah takes him and she sends him away. And so she sends him to go live with extended family, and so he spends his life on the run. He starts to work for his uncle, always knowing in the back of his mind, though, what he's done. Jacob knows that his brother Esau wants his blood. He knows that his father Isaac died knowing that he lied to him, that he can't go home. Well, after the close call that Frank has, he decides to change jobs. Piloting was fun, but maybe it's time now to become a doctor, because how hard could it be, right? Or maybe become an attorney in the great state of Louisiana.
Dear Dad, I've decided to get off the road for a while. I've taken a night job at a hospital and met some really nice people. It feels good to have my feet on the ground, to wake up in the same bed every night. Who knows? Maybe I'll even find someone to settle down with.
Harvard Medical School, top of your class. Southern California Children's Hospital. Well, that's a pretty impressive resume, Dr. Connors.
Well, unfortunately, the only thing I need is an emergency room supervisor for my midnight to 8 a.m. shift. Someone to babysit 6 interns and 20 nurses. But I doubt that you'd be interested in that.
Dr. Connolly? Dr. Harris?
Present.
Dr. Ashland?
Dr. Connolly. You're going to take roll every night.
Yes, I will, Dr. Ashland. And if you're going to be late, I suggest you bring a note.
30 milligrams of codeine every 4 hours. Runs faster, 60 drops a minute until we calculate the fluid requirements. What do you estimate the degree and extent of the burns can be?
Second and third degree burns over about 20% of the body surface.
Do you concur?
I concur.
Let's get him off to pediatrics.
Gentlemen, What seems to be the problem?
Bicycle accident. Fractured tibia about 5 inches below patella.
Dr. Harris.
Yes?
Do you concur?
Concur with what, sir?
With what Dr. Ashland just said. Do you concur?
Well, it was a bicycle accident. The boy told us.
So you concur?
Concur?
I think we should take an x-ray, then stitch him up and put him in a walking cast.
Very good, Dr. Ashland, very good. Well, you don't seem to have much need for me. Carry on.
Blew it, didn't I? Why didn't I concur?
Did we spell it right? Did we spell it right?
Sure did.
Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Welcome aboard.
Look at this photograph, Mr. Stewart. It's a photograph of Prentice York, where they found him, dead. Now, here is an enlargement of part of that photograph.
This is a photograph of the defendant's signature on a canceled check. Now, here is an enlargement of that same signature, which matches the signature on the letters that he wrote to Mrs. Simon, which discussed the possibility of defrauding the great state of Louisiana. Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, this is irrefutable evidence that the defendant is in fact lying.
Mr. Connors, this is a preliminary hearing. There is no defendant. There is no jury. It's just me.
Only in Louisiana, right? I think he did it here because it's the only place on earth he could do it. There we go, everybody. So Frank continues on this path. The lies are getting bigger and bigger. You've noticed this. And you know, Jacob spends a massive portion of his life in this pattern, continually manipulating his personality and cheating others. He's always trying to measure up. He's the heel grabber. He's always trying to be the one supplanting, taking another's place, taking what's not his. Until one day, the Lord says, it's time. Jacob, this isn't the life you're supposed to live. You're the son of the promise. It's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. It's time to go home. And so Jacob gets all his things together, the prophecy over his life that he would take the place. And he starts his way home to settle things with Esau. Because there's an issue here I want you to understand before we go any further. And that is, you cannot step into your future without first settling your past. Jacob has some things he has to square away. He has to settle. You can't just pretend like it didn't happen. You can't pretend like it's not there. In the movie, Frank calls Carl Hanratty at one point on Christmas Eve. And he's 17-ish years old at that point. And he says, I just want it to be over. I think I might get married in a little. I want you to stop chasing me. I just want this to stop. And Carl says, there's only one way that this ends. I can't stop chasing you. Listen, you can't step into your future without settling your past. You can't pretend like you weren't that person. Yes, all things are new in Christ, but there has to be a moment where you come face to face with your issues, with your weaknesses, with your failures, so that God can heal it. There has to be a moment where you settle the past so you have the potential to move on for the future that God has for you. There has to be a moment of honesty.
Roger, how are you?
Hi, Ben. Good evening, gentlemen. I'm Roger Strong.
Carl Hanratty, FBI. This is Edith Sandusky and Fox. Sorry to crash your party, sir.
Not at all. What can I do for you?
It's not too much trouble. I'd like to meet the groom.
Is there a problem?
Frank, can you hold on me?
Yeah, come here.
What's wrong?
We have to leave.
What?
Brenda, you love me, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you'd love me no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd love me whether I was sick or whether I was poor, even if I had a different name.
Frank, where'd you get all that money?
Brenda, listen. A name, right? A name, it doesn't matter. My name is Frank Connors, right? That's who I am with you. But we all have secrets. You know, sometimes when I travel, I use the name Frank Taylor. That's my secret.
Frank Taylor.
Yeah, Frank Taylor, you know? Frank Black, you know?
Frank Black?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Why are you saying all this?
Brenda, I don't want to lie to you anymore. All right? I'm not a doctor. I never went to medical school. I'm not a lawyer or a Harvard graduate or a Lutheran. Brenda, I ran away from home a year and a half ago when I was 16.
Frank? Frank? You're not a Lutheran?
That's my favorite line in the whole movie. Like, you're not a pilot, you're not a lawyer, you're not a doctor, fine. But what do you mean you're not a Lutheran? So Jacob's finally going home to face the past. Here he is. He's got all his family, all his possessions. They moved away from Esau because he's on the run for his life. But he's finally headed home to settle the score, to get forgiveness, to live in the land of the promise. And so they come to a riverbed, the Bible says. Jacob and all his family, all his possessions. And he sends everything ahead of him across the river. And he stays alone on this side. And the Bible says God, we'll see in just a moment, comes and wrestles with him till daybreak. And Jacob wrestles and won't let him go. And finally, when he realizes, he touches his side and wrenches the hip out of socket. And Jacob still won't let him go. And the man finally says, let me go, for it's daybreak. And Jacob says, I won't let you go until you bless me. Listen, Jacob finally comes to the end of his manipulation, to the end of his games, to the end of the lies. And for the first time in Jacob's life, he's pursuing, with the same passion he had pursued the approval of others, he's now pursuing the blessings of God. And I want you to know, this is where we find our confidence. You want to begin to live from a quiet confidence in knowing who you are, not always manipulating your personality. You find that bedrock. You find that confidence in God himself. And so Jacob gets a hold of God finally. It's why Colossians chapter 3 says it this way. It says, but you died to that life. You died to it. Your real life is hidden in Christ with God. You died to the need for approval from every environment that you're in. You died for the need for everybody to like you in everything that you do. You died for the need to always be seen or heard or liked by the people around you, because you found the real life in Christ Jesus. And if you and I are going to live this life with a quiet confidence in who we are, you got to grab a hold of Christ. You grab a hold of Jesus. You can die to the need to manipulate your personality just so you can have popularity in this life. No, you die to all of that stuff. And then the man asked Jacob, God asked Jacob in verse 27, the same question everybody's been asking Frank all movie long. He says, what's your name? For the first time in his life, Jacob was honest. Jacob, he answered. No more lies, no more manipulation. He owns who he really was. If you're going to break the label, you're going to have to be honest with yourself and with God. You grab a hold of Christ, you're honest with yourself. Frank has a moment in this movie where all he wants is somebody to be truthful with him and somebody that he can be truthful with.
I told them I wouldn't bring them to you unless I could put the cuffs on you myself.
Well, you have a gun? You have a gun? No gun?
No.
No gun. And you tell me what, there's 24 French police officers out there right now on Christmas Eve? That's what you're telling me?
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's no windows here. I'm going to take a look out the front door.
No. I told them I'd walk out first and give a signal. Here, you can put these on yourself.
No, I can't do that. You know why? I think it's just me and you. That's right. I think it's just me and you. And you know what? You're going to have to catch me yourself.
We don't have time for this.
That's good. Tell me what you want me to see, huh?
I wouldn't lie to you. Yes. No, there is no problem. We're coming out right now.
Well, that was good. What did you pay some hotel desk clerk to make that call for you? Is that what you did?
It's Captain Luke. I've got 1 minute to bring
Captain
you out.
Captain Luke? Ooh, Captain Luke. Well, Carl, I gotta say, that sounds pretty official to me. But like I said, I think it's just me and you here. It's me and you, so you're gonna have to catch me.
Frank, you have to trust me on this. These people have been embarrassed, Frank. They're angry. You rob their banks, you steal their money, you live in their country. I told you this was what was going to happen. That there was no other way for it to end. Don't make a mistake.
That's good. That's good, Carl, you know? Keep pushing that lie. Keep pushing it. Keep pushing until you make it true.
They're gonna kill you! You walk out that door, they're gonna kill you.
Is that the truth?
Yeah.
You swear. You swear.
Is that the truth? Do you swear? For the first time, Frank has someone he can believe. First time in his life, he can be honest. When we start pursuing God, you have to get to the moment where you come face to face with who you really are. That you're honest with yourself. And I want you to know when you are honest with yourself and with God, God's not going to be surprised. He already knows who you are. He already knows who you are. He knows what you struggle with. He knows the issues in your life. In fact, God's calling on your life already took your shortcomings into account. You ever think about that? God's calling for your life. He already took your shortcomings into account. He knows, and I want you to know even better than that, he already loves you. He already loves you more than you could possibly imagine. And I would submit to you that the areas of your weakness are the areas that God's strength means the most, that his love means the most. Did you know Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. I didn't come for the healthy, I came for the sick. And Paul said, it's in my areas of weaknesses that God's strength shows the strongest, that it's in those areas, that those moments that God's strength is the greatest in my life. Don't be ashamed of the fact that you have weaknesses or issues or things. God loves you no matter what, that his love is for you no matter what, that his power can be evident setting you free from those things no matter what. And suddenly when you get a hold of God, when you're able to be honest about your past, something incredible happens. In fact, in church, we call that something redemption.
I'd like you to take a look at something for me. Tell me what you think.
That's a fake.
How do you know you haven't looked at it?
Well, there's no perforated edge, right? I mean, this check was hand cut, not fed. Paper's double bonded, much too heavy to be a bank check. Magnetic ink, it's raised against my fingers instead of flat. This doesn't smell like Micker. It's some kind of a drafting ink. You know, the kind you get at a stationery store.
Frank, would you be interested in working with the FBI's Financial Crimes Unit?
I already got a job here. You know, I deliver the mail.
Frank, we have the power to take you out of prison. You'd be placed in the custody of the FBI where you'd serve out the remainder of your sentence as an employee of the federal government.
Under whose custody?
I already got a job. I deliver the mail around here. That's what I tell people when I meet them, by the way, in Baton Rouge. That's my. Here it is. All the things that make Frank such a good con man now suddenly make him an incredible FBI agent. Remember Jacob, back to verse 28. Look at what happens when he's finally honest. He finally is true to himself. The Lord says to him, you'll no longer be Jacob. From now on, you'll be called Israel, which means God delivers. God has overcome. You want to be free of the lies. You want to pursue God and leave the past. You got to let God change your label. Because listen to me, you can try to do it on your own all you want to. You can try to break off the stigma or the labels that people have put. You can strive and fight your entire life, but you will never escape it on your own. You will never be free on your own. Trying to be spiritual apart from God is the very definition of legalism. It doesn't work. You will never be good enough to escape it. It's only by the grace of Jesus. It's only by God's grace that we are set free. Isaiah 62, it says that you'll be called a new name that the Lord himself will give you. that you'll have a new name. I want you to hear today that when you give your life to Christ, when you open yourself to the power of God to touch your life and come to a place of honesty and repentance, God doesn't look at you and judge you and reject you. No, he looks at you and he says, you are forgiven and you are set free. You will be steadfast and you will be truthful and you will be firm and you will be make a difference in the world around you. You are a child of God and he loves you more than you could possibly imagine. Don't let a twisted view of God drive you from the gospel. He loves you. He wants you. And listen, when that happens, you'll begin to learn to live from God's approval instead of for the approval of man.
These impressions on every line. It's like the original amount was for $60.
Mind if I take a look?
Cash in Flagstaff a week ago. Cost the bank $16,000.
It's a real check.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been washed. The only thing original is the signature.
But it's perfect, Carl. I mean, this isn't hydrochloride or bleach.
Nope. Something new. Maybe a nail polish remover where the acetone removes the ink that's not been printed. How did you do it, Frank? How did you cheat on the bar exam in Louisiana?
I didn't cheat. I studied for 2 weeks and I passed.
Is that the truth, Frank? Is that the truth?
I'll bet this guy steals checks out of mailboxes. He washes off their names and he puts on his own.
You saying that he's a local?
Well, if it were me, you know, I'd call the bank first. I'd check out the balance.
Make sure there's enough money in there to make it worth your while.
Exactly. You know, Carl, I think this guy's pretty smart. I guess all we have to do now is catch him.
Listen, we've seen Frank's story. You've heard Jacob's, and now it's your chance. It's time for the labels to come off of your life. God will not bless who we pretend to be. You've got to be who God says that you are to live a life that's redeemed. To live a life of purpose. That God has his eye on you. That God has purpose and a plan for your life. But he won't bless the fake you. He won't bless who we pretend to be. But God has a chance for you. It's time to be redeemed. Bow your heads with me as we pray today. I just want to take a moment to pray before we go that God would break the labels off of our lives. And maybe you struggle with it all of your life, but that you would be free this morning. Before we do that, though, there are people who are here today and you are struggling and you are far from God. And you know, it's more than that. You know that you're far from him. You're well aware. You don't need anyone around you pointing fingers or judging that fact. You're well aware of the state. And maybe you've tried your hardest to get back to him, or maybe you've tried your hardest to fix it on your own. And if you walk down that path, chances are you're exhausted. Chances are nothing has worked out right. And so you try and you try, and all you do is dig yourself deeper and deeper. Listen to me. There's a chance this morning to be free. To have the labels broken off your life. To see the purpose and the plan that God has for you. And if you've tried it on your own, you know what I'm talking about. You're not just exhausted. You're probably scared to death to be honest with anybody in your life. Because if they only knew who you really were, if they only saw what you're really like, they would just push you away. They'd never accept you. It would never be the way you thought it could be. But listen to me, the beauty of God's plan for us is that it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to run to the Father when we have issues and weaknesses and failures. God accepts us as we are, and then he changes and frees us. You don't have to get yourself together to get to God. You get to God to get yourself together. He's the one that sets us free. And so if you tried and you've tried and you've tried and you've come to the end of yourself, I'm telling you, there's a chance for freedom today. You know there's a gap between who you are and where you think you're supposed to be. Listen to me. The only way to close that gap is not to dress yourself up in some facade. It's not to pretend to be something else, because God won't bless the fake you. You have to be honest have surrendered to Christ, it's in Him that we find the power to change. And so today I just want to pray for you. If you say, that's me, Ben, I'm far from Him, but I want to be saved. Listen, I'm not going to make you raise your hand or come to the front. I'm not in this to embarrass you. Right now, you can make a decision right where you are. And it would be the honor of our church to pray with you. All of us pray this with you. Nobody prays alone. But if that's you, you want to pray that prayer with us. It's a prayer of repentance, and it's a prayer of forgiveness, and it's a prayer of redemption. But right now, you can make that decision. Pray it with us. And come on, church, nobody prays alone. Say these words. Say, Jesus, forgive me of all of my sin, of all my mistakes. I believe that you died on the cross, and I believe you rose again. And I make you the Lord of my life, in Jesus' name. Now, God, I thank you for every person here. Lord, I thank you for the potential that you see in every life. For those that are struggling in this Christian journey, for those who are carrying the labels of the past, we thank you that when we come to you in true honesty, that you don't reject us, that you never turn us away. You accept us and you change our name. We thank you that we can leave this place never again defined by the lies of the past, never again held hostage by the enemy. Father, we thank you that we can live in a confidence and an identity that's rooted and grounded in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's church said, amen. And amen. Come on, can you give God praise?